This is John Floridus. Welcome to Musician Spotlight. Our guest today is John Butler. This is John Floridus. Welcome to Musician Spotlight. And I'd like to welcome back to the program, John Butler.
Good day, John. How are you?
Good day to you. And great to have you back on the program. I think it was probably maybe 5 or 6 years ago, and I believe it was the first time you'd been to Missoula.
Yeah.
We had you on the program over at the university. Maybe I should tell folks, we are recording this program backstage at the Wilma Theater in mid-February. I know that you have a fondness for wilderness and wild things, and wondered if you'd had a chance to, in your travels here in Montana, to get out into the state at all.
No, not this time. I'm always passing through on tour, you know. Most times we arrive in the town at 2 o'clock in the morning and leave at 2 o'clock in the morning the next morning. So it doesn't always leave you a lot of time to explore.
Yeah.
I did have a day off and I did explore a town, but because of the snow, I wasn't going to go out bush or, you know, go out kind of walk about kind of exploring any wilderness. I didn't have the proper gear, but you guys have amazing antique shops in town. So I know that's not really wilderness based, but I just bought two really like 70-year-old skillets that I've been looking for ages that I'm going to use for cooking when I go home. So
we've actually had that feedback before. And as I recall, the last time you were here, you got some really good shoes.
Did I?
I think so.
Oh, no, I got good leather from a shoe shop.
Oh, okay. Was that what it was?
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's great to have you back in the state. We want to talk about Flesh and Blood, which is the brand new John Butler Trio album. And this is, as we are recording this is brand new.
Yeah, we recorded it in December, or most of it in December 2012, actually. But chose just to hold on to it for a while so that I could just make room for it. A few other people's plans and, and endeavors. My wife was releasing an album. She's a a musician and songwriter. She goes under the name of Mama Kin.
Yeah.
And so she was touring that, and I really wanted to return the favor that she's always extended to me and support her. And then, you know, then Nicky decided to leave the band to do his own band, which was a really a great idea for him to do. And,
Nicky, it's Bomba, right?
Nicky Bomba, yeah, my brother-in-law. Yeah, so all those things kind of happened over last year. And so it was just kind of the perfect timing for all those things to take place. And I was happy to hold on. The songs held up, you know. That's what I was really happy about, was that, you know, after a year of sitting with them, I still liked them. I didn't want to keep on going back and changing them.
Yeah.
They were done.
John, I wanted to ask you about just the concept of playing in a trio format. We may have talked about this the last time you were on the show, but just talk a bit about the kind of energy that you get with three musicians. I think it's very unique as opposed to larger bands or obviously solo shows.
In one sense, it's all I know, and I'm a creature of habit. In another way, three is a magic number. I have a really strong relationship with three, you know, the core essentials, drums and bass, and the kind of players that I play with, they have a very wide dynamic range and ability. I don't think or feel that we need any more. And the times I have played with organs, or when we add more to the whole set, usually what happens is it's less. It sounds less. Yeah. Long story short, we can make enough sound with three, I guess, yeah. And the sound that we can't make is good. It's called space.
The final frontier.
Yeah, exactly.
Shower, shave, make it to the station, waiting for the train. Damn train late again. Hit the streets and they are seething, ducking, weaving, begging, stealing. Got you kneeling and you're feeling that you want it all. That's how it goes, living in the city. Everybody getting down to the nitty gritty. But don't look back, but don't think of pity. Hey, you know I never said it would be pretty. That's how it goes, living in the city. Everybody getting down to the nitty gritty. They don't look back and they don't take no pity. Well, I get to the office and delete my spam. Delete me, delete my plans. Working every day for the damn man. Sometimes I wonder just who I am. When I'm gonna go postal, gonna have a tattoo, be the headhunter, then I'm gonna move coastal. Everything gonna be just fine. Working every day on my gold mine. That's how it goes, living in the city. Everybody getting down to the nitty gritty. They don't look back, don't take no pity. Hey, you know I never said it wouldn't be pretty. That's how it goes, living in the city. Everybody getting down to the nitty gritty. They don't look back, they don't take no pity.
I wanted to ask you, John, if you could talk a little bit about the connection that you have with the folks who come and listen to your music and support your shows. I had a chance to see you at a show in Florida, and after the show, wanted to just stop by and say hi. You know, hey, remember you were on the show in Montana? And there were probably a couple of hundred people that were in line waiting to see you and talk with you and just say hi and get an autograph or whatever. And I just was really struck by the patience you had and the respect that you gave folks, and really spoke to me to the connection you have with the people who are, you know, coming out and supporting what you're doing.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, it's exactly that. It goes without saying that every human being or being deserves just as much as respect as I want or demand. I try to remember that. Sometimes it can be very challenging, especially when you want to be there for 200 people after you've played for 2.5 hours. But you make your own bed, and I can easily say no. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to say yes, then you say yes and you do the best you can, and you be good to people. It doesn't take much to lose somebody, you know. No one wants to be blown off, I don't think, you mm-hmm. know. So, you do have to just be very kind of present with everybody you're with. And maybe it's even more profound for me because I come from the other side of the world and there's people coming. And, you know, it feels very, I don't know, it's very, yeah, it's a very profound thing. I've come from a long way. I've come from a very, very long way to build a career in a country that's extremely hard to build a career in. And so when you have one, I think it's a very special thing to be able to pay your rent and feed yourself by doing what you love in your own town, let alone on the other side of the world. So, yeah.
Well, I think it seems like it's reciprocated in ways, like you mentioned, being able to do a solo concert and be able to do a show where you can get down to a whisper, you know, and where they'll respect that and let that happen. And it seems like it's harder and harder these days to find those kind of situations for folks, for musicians, and for people to experience that from an audience standpoint.
You have to guide them.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, and the first thing you do is play an appropriate venue. Mm-hmm. You know, on that solo tour, I played an outdoor venue in a town where I've normally played big rocking shows, and everybody came to have a good rocking old time and drink it up. They had me, you know. I think there's a moment in during the set where I said, "I'm not going to be your jukebox." I got off stage very unhappy. So after that gig, we made a recording that said, "Folks, this is a very intimate show. Please turn off your mobile phones and please be respectful to the artists and to the people around you who want to listen to this." But we had to pick the right venue. The interesting thing about that whole thing is that I don't hesitate to tell them everything about me on stage, but I don't know them at all. You know, I don't know them, and they know me. They know me very well, but they feed my family. It's a really strange, intimate relationship. Yeah, it's a cool, profound, strange thing, and I'm thankful for it.
Life I would rather not sacrifice. You girl I cannot live without, and you know there's no doubt that all our minds losing you. Losing sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep. I'll get plenty of rest when I am dead, but till then, won't you share my bed? 'Cause all our minds losing you, all our minds losing. Losing money, there's nothing this life owes me. I've been given more than I can receive before. For you, there is no receipt. So all our minds losing you. All our minds losing you. Handsome as I never was, but you love me just because. All our minds losing you. All our minds losing you. So there are things in this life I sacrifice. You grow I cannot live without, and you know there's no doubt that all our minds losing you. All our minds losing you. All our minds losing.
This is John Floridas. You're listening to Musician Spotlight, and I'm speaking today with John Butler. I want to talk a little bit about songwriting. You seem to have a really nice balance in terms of lyrics, the balance being between more personal, introspective things, more explorations of kind of the human condition, and also more political kinds of things lyrically. I think you seem to really do a nice job of balancing those things. Talk a little bit about how just songs come together for you at this point.
I still don't know how they come together, to tell you the honest truth. I think that's why I still like it. Every song is like its own little wild beast, and you do, as a songwriter and as a song keeper, I have an ability to see these songs before they're ever out in the real world, and I can hear them and I can see them, and it's like I see dead people, but it's kind of like that. But every one of these wild little, precious little things, they want to be brought into town in a certain way, and they want to be brought to recorded in a certain way, written in a certain way. They all want the reins and the saddle to be put on a certain way, and you got to do that without breaking the spirit of this song. You got to be careful though that you're not just writing songs to impress songwriters.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you know.
Exactly.
Because I think a lot of artists do that. You know, like we all want Bob Dylan to like our music, you know, or Paul Simon, Leonard Cohen, these great lyricists, you know. So you got to be careful that there's enough shooting from the hip and swagger, and because a lot of our favorite stuff from all those artists are when they were shooting from the hip and being a little less heady.
Yeah.
I've never really stopped searching for things that interest me, and as far as politics goes, you know, I think you'd be, you know, very aware of it as well. You know, it's easy to get a protest singer or a folk singer, or a political singer that sounds like they're being patronizing when they're singing to you. Mm-hmm. You know, there's this condescending nature where I know what's going on, and we all need to do this, and you need to do that, and put your fist in the air, and next thing you know, you feel like you're at a seminar. That's all well and good for one song, especially if you can do it well. You know, I mean, you know, it's the same old thing anyways. It's, you know, why is the minority oppressing the majority? Why are the greedy ruining the planet? Why do we have to go to war when all we want is peace? I mean, once you've traversed pretty much all that ground, you need to get to stories, and stories are always of the heart and of the human condition.
Mm.
And you can still talk about those things, but you can just talk about, well, why is it? You know, let's talk about the politician when he was a boy growing up and how his dad never said, I love him. Now, that's something that's interesting.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
yeah.
What made the man become who he is, you know? So
it makes people become more characters and not caricatures.
Yeah, exactly. And you can start relating to these characters as a listener, not just as the songwriter, but as a listener. He's like, oh, yeah. I never got told that. Oh, yeah, somebody told me that one time. Or, oh, yeah, I know how that feels when you get kicked down and embarrassed in front of a whole classroom. Or, you know, all of a sudden you're transported into to your character. And I think that's a really interesting thing when you can start shape-shifting as the listener.
On me, I'll leave my mark on you. This war we fight, you'll see, scorches all but the truth. Suffer now,
John, I also wanted to touch on, you mentioned stories, and I got a quote from one of the interviews online. This was in regards to Western Australia, and the idea that these are the stories that I tell, they're from here. And I guess to me, it spoke to your sense of place.
Well, yeah, more and more, my home is becoming more and more important. I don't know if that's because about 3 years ago, you know, I think my wife said to me, she goes, look, I'm not coming on the road anymore for 10 months out of the year. We were on the road for 10 months out of the year for about 10 years. We raised kids on the road, the whole deal. I think my daughter had a gold frequent flyer card when she was like, she was like a year old. It was obscene. And we worked out that, you know, on a non-album year, like not like a year like this where I'm releasing an album, but on the years that I'm not releasing an album, I'll tour for 4 months. Having done that, I started having an amazing. I started making friends outside of outside of touring, and I hadn't had friends for a long time. I've been a man on a mission, and started having a garden, and started doing a lot more camping, things that I really love, and making things in the shed and painting and all these things. And so, yeah, sense of home had a real profound effect. Up until then, I'd moved out of home, and started busking, met my wife. And just got crazily obsessed on making a career and following a dream and taking opportunities. And there were a lot of opportunities to take up in that point. And then all of a sudden we moved into a home that had a shed and a massive backyard. And felt like, oh, yeah, this is what it feels like. I remember this feeling. This is what it felt like as a kid. Mm. It's a very solid, grounded feeling. And where I live in Australia is just becoming so much more profoundly intense. It's like a magnetic pool nowadays. It feeds my soul in a way that nothing else can. It's actually like the stronger my spirit is, the better I write songs, the better I perform, the better dad I am, a better husband I am, a better friend I am, a happier life I have. Therefore, when I do go out, I can go out for less time and do more work. So you start, is that all that one inch punch kind of stuff, that's all that Zen kind of stuff that either comes with time or maybe just took me a long time to learn.
JohnButlerTrio.com is the name of the website where you can go and find out more information about what John's doing. And he's doing a lot. He's always doing a lot, whether it's traveling or recording or releasing videos or tending to his garden.
Yes.
Metaphorically or literally in this case.
Yeah.
And Flesh and Blood is the new recording that is out as well. And thank you so much for making
thank
time
you, John,
to being on the show again. And
I appreciate
it's
your
been
time.
A pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks.
No worries.
There's something haunting me, running on thin ice. There's nothing you can see, I do all I can to hide. And all the rolling days, all the lonely nights, where you don't know your place.
This is John Floridus. You've been listening to Musician Spotlight. Our guest today has been John Butler. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org. You can also contact us through our own website, musicianspotlight.org, as well as through Facebook. Our program is now available as a podcast through those websites, as well as through iTunes. Special thanks to the Knitting Factory and the Wilma Theater for this interview. Musician Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.